It's a wonderful delight to be with you today. I think we have some information, some topics that will be relevant, that will be germane, and hopefully our intent is try to promote what we believe to be the faith of our fathers, the family unit, and our freedoms that are so precious. And so in our monologue today, I want to speak a little bit about what we just witnessed on the news as to the shootings there in Winder, Georgia, by the young fellow there that they will now treat him in court as an adult. It's horrible to think that seemingly we're seeing more and more of this. It has become somewhat commonplace. And it seems to be that we're seeing children even 11 years old, 14 years old, that by the courts, due to the atrocities and to the colossal damage of killing people and injuring others, I believe two teachers were killed and maybe two students. And what a horrific situation there. But in my little analysis, I'm thinking, what has made the value of life so meaningless? You know, when I was growing up, and just a few decades ago or a few years ago, we never heard of these kinds of situations, school security and all like that. You know, gum chewing, getting out of line, those were problems in the early 1940s and 50s, and now we've had to impose metal detectors. And surely there must be some answers other than just people getting together and lighting candles and saying, well, we're going to have an analysis. We're going to get a committee. I don't think we need more gun laws, and I don't think that we need to just to say that this is like a singular tragedy as though it has only happened once. We've had multiple type situations where people have been killed killed because somebody just wants to do that. Somebody wants to inflict and do harm to others. And isn't it awful that we're even talking about kids that are maybe in middle school or they're at least maybe in the early grades of high school are doing these terrific atrocities, things that are beyond the imagination. And I wonder if it could be one of the factors might be that we have killed millions of babies in the womb. And I think that we all would have to agree that we basically have told our Creator that life has no purpose, that life in and of itself has no value. But the Bible tells us that we were known by the Lord when we were formed in the womb, according to the writings of Jeremiah. We see today that seemingly that we have just embarked upon insanity and we're some kind of a situation ethics, and people don't seemingly put the finger on the person. You know, so many liberals want to blame the intangible or the tangible thing, the gun, the knife, the spoon, the fork, rather than the individual. Harm can be done in many ways, but obviously the gun here that by this young person is such a catastrophic situation that it's hard to articulate just exactly what we're trying to express. But I do know this, that we are going to see situations more and more that seem demonic, that seem like evil has just overcome good. We see it so much in society. We see people today that their attitudes, their decorum, you might call it, the way they conduct themselves. We've gotten crass. We've gotten very fierce in our relationships. People are not kind one to another. They're not patient. They don't many times try to help one another. And these things that have been planned sometimes over weeks and months by the perpetrators, people that intend, I don't know whether it's to get a name in a paper or on the evening news, but people that are willing to go into a school and shoot people that have done nothing to them, that have no reason at all to face a person with a gun. But I'm simply saying here, I think that we're going to have to take a look from the spiritual standpoint and see what has happened to our young children. Is it also the breakdown of the family? Do we not have any continuity in the family? Somebody said, those who take no pride in the child in the playpen had better get ready to visit him in the state pen. It's unfortunate. I don't think we can just alleviate it or do away with it by legislation. I think we have to change the attitudes. And I think this idea that we can go in and just rip babies out of the womb, tear them apart limb by limb, it's such an ugly and horrific type procedures that it's almost impossible to describe, or saline solutions that burn the child in the womb. God help us. I think that we surely must get back to where life is valued. You know, in the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote a good part of it, said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, he said, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Friends, I know that it's hard to bring these kinds of situations and address them with clarity and compassion, but we must return to the faith of our fathers. We must return to our biblical standards. Life is precious. God gave his life so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And I don't think we can continue, regardless of what kind of materialism that we get. I don't care how good the economy might be progressing or getting worse. The solution is not by more legislation. As I've said, another gun law will not prevent it. I think some of the states that have the most strict gun laws is where we see a lot of the violence. Chicago, places like New York City, places like Detroit, five cities. If we took them out of the statistical crime data, we would only be number 183 out of all of the nations, I believe it is. But when we add in five principal cities where crime is rampant, we rank right up in the number three position for crime for industrialized nations that are of our size. So God help us. And I want to say more about this future and in other broadcasts.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife Shirley from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
And friends, you know, because of my background, I like a lot of good singing. My dad taught the old-fashioned singing schools where you learn to sing by the shape note. And I realize that is a dying thing now. Most people don't know much about it. But years ago, that's how people learned to sing, especially going back to the early 1900s, James D. Vaughan and singing schools, and people would get songbooks and they would help teach others to sing. And there was choir singing or class singing where groups just got together in churches. And out of that have grown some modern day videos. But anyway, I like good singing, and I like singing that reaches right down into your soul and communicates a good message. Let's enjoy one of our great selections here today. I believe that you will thoroughly enjoy it.
I've heard people talk about heaven and describe its beauty so rare. So one day I purchased a title to a mansion in that land so here I will roam.
Todd, my name was engraved and gold letters in the Lamb's Book of Life, saved within. Oh, and we're heirs to a mansion in glory. Jesus to call you. Oh, let's lay down that cross and go home.
I hold a clear title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare.
Good evening, Andrew, and thank you for inviting me on your podcast. Right now, it is about 20 hours after the terrible tragedy in Georgia where they had the high school shooting, and at least at this point, four people are known deceased and nine injured, and when you asked me to make a comment, I thought about a lot of things. And as a high school teacher of 36 years, something like that hits home. And we practice for those kind of things, and we try to minimize the amount of damage and carnage and those kind of things. And hopefully things like that never happen in our schools or anywhere else for that matter. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention how much we appreciate the first responders, the police officers, school resource officers. And it's also interesting to note that it was a school resource officer who was armed who brought the carnage to an end yesterday. I think that says a lot, but that's a topic for another day. Whenever these things happen, you know, you have a shooting or there'll be some great man-made tragedy that causes us all to step back and say, well, what happened? What could we have done? And we rush to assign some kind of blame. And of course, the people on the left are going to blame the gun. And a lot of times the people on the right are left saying things like we heard yesterday, things like, well, this was pure evil. This is pure evil. This is what evil looks like. That is true. That is evil. And that's not something that God would ever want or that God would ever intend. Here's the question. How did we get to a place like this where these things happen? I'm going to throw something out here to you, Andrew, and maybe your viewers and listeners might think about this. It's the voting season, and in a little over 8 weeks, we are going to cast a ballot for either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris or some other minor candidate. And the issue of abortion is forefront in my mind for this reason. I don't believe that a society can say for 40, 50 years that life doesn't matter, and especially the life of a child in the mother's womb doesn't matter, and that have not serious repercussions on the way we look at life and the way we view life. And you might say, well, that's simplistic. I don't know that it is. And the reason why is this. That is something that God ordained. The birth process is something that God created and ordained. It is our basic form of life. It's how we get here. It is a signal of a union between a man and a woman that God also ordained. And I think because we don't respect the life of an unborn child, it's not a very far jump or a far reach to say that, well, of course we don't respect the life of anyone else, because if we can't respect the life of an innocent unborn baby who has done nothing physically wrong, then how in the world are we expected as a society to respect the life of anyone else? I've heard people say, well, shouldn't all babies be loved? Well, they should, but that doesn't mean that you kill them before they are born. Just like if we find a 25-year-old fully functioning human being walking around, if they're not loved, we don't say, well, it's okay to kill them because they're not loved. Well, that's nonsense. And so all that we are seeing about gender confusion, lesbianism, homosexual activity, you know, all of those things that are aberrations, and I believe are just plain sin and a refusal to accept God's way. This is exactly what we saw yesterday in Georgia. We have seen the results of, and we see this over and over, we've seen the results of a society that has codified the idea and the practice of taking children's lives. And Andrew, for those people who say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to vote for this person or that person, I think a better question is this. Are we going to be supporters of God's plan for human life? Or are we going to say, you know what God thinks doesn't matter, I'm going to do what I want to do? It's my strong opinion that the Christians and those who call themselves children of God, they need to take a strong look at whether or not they are considering what God wants for their lives when they enter the voting booth. And when they do, I don't think that they can honestly cast a vote for the party of Kamala Harris, who is for the outright and full-bodied support of a people's quote-unquote right to kill unborn babies. Thank you, Andrew, and God bless you.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But... my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Friends, thank you so much that you are a part of our broadcast. I know that time is so important, and for you to spend or allocate some of your time with our Faith Family Freedom broadcast, I want to thank you. I want to encourage you. I think that we need to encourage one another. We're living in times of confusion. We're living in times of when we see a lot of dysfunction. We see depression. We see a lot of discord. We see people that are seemingly they don't know how to get a handle on life itself. And I simply want to convey to you that we can all have improvement. We can help one another. And that's why I want to be an encourager to you and tell you that we are, as believers in Christ, that we can have life and have a good life. Now, I realize that we live in a seemingly a post-Christian culture. It's hard to have a Christian government when your nation basically has become unchristian. You know, we're seeing less and less church attendance. We're seeing churches that are fundamental churches where the Bible is preached as it is to folks as they are. We see less of that. We see more of what we call a good feeling type efforts in a lot of churches. I think it was the late Billy Sunday who said that that most of the preaching now backsliders that it wouldn't hit the side of the wall. But he said we need preaching that will bring each one of us down to our knees and recognize that we need repentance in America. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people, now he was talking to the Jewish nation, but I think we can make a spiritual application there for everybody. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now that's important too. We got to turn from our wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their lands. And we've been in a sin sick world today. Like I said in earlier broadcast, when we can kill babies in the womb, when we can give approbation to groups like Hamas that can behead children and kill ladies and do all kinds of things, raping and murders and kill prisoners. When parties like the Democrat Party can refuse to condone or condemn those practices and basically say that we're going to encourage the students in colleges as a form of their opposition to loot and burn and pillage and desecrate the flag and do everything they can, harass Jewish students, maybe even go so far as to threaten them and spit upon them and do things that kind of, when we read about it in history, are kind of reminiscent of the late 1930s in Hitler and the night of the crystal glass, the night when people had to leave their homes and anything favorable to the Jewish community was given the death sentence. Businesses destroyed and people put in concentration camps and put in these places where they would be facing the most brutal and hedonistic practices that one could imagine. Put them in the ovens like you're gonna burn a paper or something. But here is a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. God help us. One day, my friend, we're going to stand in judgment. We'll either, as Christians, stand at the judgment seat of Christ, or if you're not saved, you will appear and be at the great white throne judgment, and you will be too judged according to your works. I refuse to give my assent or my approval to any candidate running for office that believes that it's all right to destroy babies, that it's all right to kill babies, that it's all right to make marriage as some kind of a relationship, that it's not a one man, one wife marriage as the Bible prescribes. I'm not going to do it. I fear the Lord. I respect God. And I know that his word is inerrant. I know that it's inspired. And I know that we have got to come to the standard. We can't make the Bible be what we want it to be. The Bible has to speak to us. We have to change our ways of living. We can't continue like we've been doing and basically tell God that we're not going to have him in the arrangement, that we're not going to have him in our government. You know, we've had, I think, about 20 members of the House of Representatives in the last, in this current session, that when they were sworn in 2022, that refused to take the oath of office on a Bible. We have Muslims like the Attorney General in Minnesota. We have Muslims in Congress. We have people that don't respect and they want to tear down our great country. They're against us. They make no secret about it. It's not done incognito. They'll get right in your face and tell you that they hate America. They hate our traditions. They hate our Constitution. They hate our Declaration of Independence, our common law that had 4 references, I believe, to God in it alone. 26 members of the Second Continental Congress had seminary degrees. Our laws were based upon Christian principles, on Bible principles. And now we basically have said, we're not going to respect that. We're going to do whatever we want to do. I think it was recorded in the book of Judges where it said every man did what was right in his own eyes, and that always brings ruin. Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers
are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area, southwestern Michigan, Indianapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me, and I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits. But these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps.
Do you have trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today, I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside, and they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here, 4 designs, and you get 3 of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, Kinsman, and company.shop. And you can shop there and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
And friends, to give you the kind of program that I think that you need, I think that I feel that it's necessary, that it's imperative to add other segues from other people. Videos. Sometimes we like to go back maybe to the turn of the century when people came from Ellis Island. You know, 10 million came in here, 10 millions rather, from 1900 to 1910. They came dressed and ready to come to this new place with streets of gold, they thought. Well, anyway, we like to share historical videos, and sometimes by some of our good presidents or maybe a good economist, especially every once in a while, we like to share them from members of Congress today in some of their committee meetings or when they are interrogating a witness that's going to maybe be appointed to an extremely important post in the government. I think you need and deserve to know. I hope you enjoy what we have planned for you in these videos.
Fox's Jonathan Turley shared his experience in the courtroom during the Trump verdict.
It was one of the most bizarre moments I've had in a courtroom, and I was just observing. The judge had just said that the jury could not reach a decision and we would be dismissed for the day. Some reporters actually gathered their stuff and were starting to leave. And then the judge came and basically said, my mistake, we just got a note saying there's a verdict. Throughout this time, you could feel the building pressure in that courtroom. The one person that didn't seem to registered was the former president. He had been chatting with counsel. He didn't show any emotion at all as this mantra of guilty verdicts was read. I was saddened to watch it. I disagree with this verdict. I think, as I've said before, that this case was legally unfounded. When they were reading those guilty verdicts, the one thing that we didn't know is really what he was found guilty of. Because if you remember, the judge allowed the jury to find guilt on any one of three secondary crimes. We weren't told whether the jury found any one of those crimes, whether they found all three of those crimes. I'm not too sure we will know that. That's one of the many issues that I think presents reversible problems in this case. This is going to go up on appeal. I think it's going to be reversed in the state or federal system.
You know, I'm sick and tired of being lectured to by Joe Biden and everybody on the radical left saying they're trying to save democracy. No, you're not. Not when you twist the law into legal pretzels just to get a conviction. Not when you are constantly voraciously investigating the same man over and over again simply because you don't like his tweets or you don't like his manners or his mannerisms. This goes all the way back to 2015, 2016, when they were spying on his campaign. When the FISA process was abused to go after a political rival back then, and it's never stopped. So this is not about, what the jury said. That's not true at all. This is about protecting our Constitution, protecting the institutions of our government. It has to be blind. It cannot be a respecter of persons. It cannot be a respecter of politics. Because once you go down that line, you actually destroy America. And that's where Joe Biden and the radical left are taking us, and it is disgraceful to see it happening in our country.
I enlisted in the army to defeat the Islamist terrorists who attacked us on 9/11 and to keep our country safe. I've served now for over 21 years, deployed to war zones in both the Middle East and Africa, put my life on the line for the freedom and safety of the American people, and still serve today. Now, my own government has placed me on a secret terror watch list, targeting me as a potential domestic terror threat. Why? Political retaliation. I spoke out about how dangerous Kamala Harris would be to our nation if she were to be elected as president, and why the American people should be very concerned. Now, just before boarding a flight on July 23rd, my husband and I were pulled aside for additional TSA screening. Our electronics were swabbed for traces of explosives, and when we landed, my husband was pulled aside for another round of additional screening. On the next several flights that we took, our boarding passes were marked with the Quad S, and we were subjected to in-depth searches by the TSA every single time, each time taking 30 to 45 minutes, every inch of our body patted down, every item in our carry-on searched and swabbed for explosive residue, and sometimes going through this all over again at the gate before being allowed to board the plane. Every time this happened, we were told by the TSA agent there, this is just a random selection. Now, that might have been believable if it had happened just once or twice, but 5, 6, 7, 8 times in a row? There's no way. On August 4th, federal air marshal whistleblowers came forward with very disturbing information. They revealed that I had been added to a secret terror watch list run by the TSA called Quiet Skies. On July 23rd. This is the very same day my husband and I began to be subjected to those in-depth TSA searches. These are images of the TSA targeting package that the air marshals were given as part of their mission brief. I later learned that at least 3 air marshals were assigned to watch me every time I traveled, in the airport and on the flight. TSA deployed explosive K9 detection teams and a TSA explosive specialist. Now, this is extreme by any measure. What were they looking for? What kind of threat did they think I posed? What were they afraid that I was going to do? None of this made sense until I put all the pieces together. On July 21st, President Biden announced he was dropping out of the presidential race and endorsing Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee. On July 22nd, I did an interview with Fox News' Laura Ingraham about how dangerous a potential Kamala Harris presidency would be for our country. Here's what I said.
Foreign policy decisions are being made by unelected people in the military-industrial complex who are profiting from us being in a constant state of war, and the national security state that has more power to undermine our freedoms and liberties when we are in a state of war. Kamala Harris does not have the strength to stand up to the military-industrial complex.
The very next day, on July 23rd, the TSA placed me on the Quiet Skies domestic terror watch list, in what I can only describe as the ultimate betrayal. After putting my life on the line to defend the safety and security of the American people, the Harris-Biden regime has now labeled me a domestic terror threat. Why? They see me as a threat to their power. The Harris-Biden administration and Democrat elite have spent years weaponizing our law enforcement, our national security state, even enlisting the help of their friends in big tech and the mainstream propaganda media to retaliate against those who dare to criticize their actions and their policies, those they deem a threat to their power, because that's all they care about, power. On August 21st, the Congressional Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government launched an investigation into the TSA's clearly politically motivated actions against me to expose the truth. I am not the only political dissident the Harris-Biden regime is targeting. On Saturday, Christmas Eve of 2022, the IRS opened an investigation into independent journalist Matt Taibbi, just 3 weeks after he began publishing the Twitter files, which exposed the truth about the Democrats' collusion with Twitter to censor Americans online. They sent IRS agents unannounced to Matt Taibbi's home at the very moment he was testifying before the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, where he was warning the American people and members of Congress about the collusion between government and private enterprise to silence and censor Americans.
We learned Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other companies developed a formal system for taking in moderation requests from every corner of government, from the FBI, the DHS, the HHS, DOD, the Global Engagement Center at State, even the CIA. For every government agency scanning Twitter, there were perhaps 20 quasi-private entities doing the same thing. A focus of this fast-growing network, as Mike noted, is making lists of people whose opinions, beliefs, associations, or sympathies are deemed misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation. That last term is just a euphemism for true but inconvenient. Undeniably, the making of such lists is a form of digital McCarthyism.
Now, to take these extreme measures, you might imagine, well, hey, maybe Matt failed to file his taxes, or maybe he owed the IRS and the government a lot of money. No, that wasn't the case. The government actually owed him a lot of money. This was a case of retaliation and harassment, hoping that if they bullied and harassed him enough, he might stop exposing the truth. He did not. That same year, the Harris-Biden regime also targeted former FBI Special Agent Steve Friend. Now, Friend blew the whistle on the politicization of the FBI and the deployment of SWAT using extreme tactics to go after opponents of the Harris-Biden administration and their policies. Defying the Whistleblower Protection Act, the FBI wasted no time in retaliating against him.
The FBI weaponized the security clearance processes to facilitate my removal from active duty within 1 month of my disclosures. In addition to an indefinite unpaid suspension, the FBI initiated a campaign of humiliation and intimidation to punish and pressure me to resign. In violation of HIPAA, individuals at the FBI leaked my private medical information to a reporter at the New York Times. I pray that all members consider the information I and my fellow whistleblowers present. You may think I'm a political partisan. You may think I'm a grifter. You may think I'm a conspiracy theorist. It does not matter. Simply put, this committee should avoid the temptation to impugn the character and the motivations of the messengers seated before you.
Now, Terry Turchi, the FBI's first head of counterterrorism and a retired agent with over 30 years of frontline service in the FBI, stood up for Steve Friend's character and integrity, along with over 30 other FBI agents. Turchi said, quote, "The FBI has been collapsed into nothing more than a police agency for the Democratic Party. Many of us feel that over the decades, we've seen the complete compromise of the Bureau." Now, sometimes the Harris-Biden administration uses their friends in the mainstream media to do their dirty work for them. Emmy Award-winning reporter Catherine Herridge, known for her in-depth reporting on the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop, faced multiple roadblocks by her higher-ups in her reporting at CBS. Yet she persevered. She stuck with the story. And shortly after being fired in what CBS called part of a major downsizing, CBS confiscated all of her notes, files, and reporting records in an unprecedented act that Catherine called journalistic rape.
When the network of Walter Cronkite seizes your reporting files, including confidential source information, that is an attack on investigative journalism. When my records were seized, I felt it was a journalistic rape.
Nothing short of political retaliation that, according to Catherine, her sources were deeply afraid of. Quote, "Multiple sources said they were concerned that by working with me to expose government corruption and misconduct, they would be identified and exposed." But it isn't just journalists that the regime has targeted. Permanent Washington has demonstrated the true extent of its unchecked abuse of power when it tried to remove a duly elected president, Donald Trump, in his first term. In 2017, President Trump questioned the credibility of the FBI as they investigated him based on accusations of Russian collusion that the FBI already knew were false. Senator Chuck Schumer issued a chilling warning about what happens when someone dares to challenge the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
7 years later, and their abuse of power continues. This presidential cycle, the Harris-Biden regime weaponized the Secret Service against their political opponents, denying protection to Bobby Kennedy Jr., for example, for months, in spite of the fact that he presented evidence of serious threats on his life and multiple break-ins at his home. What to speak of the tragic history of both his father and his uncle being assassinated.
I'm the first candidate in history that has requested Secret Service protection since my dad's death, which is when they get, you know, they gave it to everybody. They have to give it to you 120 days out. They've given it to 44 candidates, basically everybody. 200 days, 300 days. I think Obama got it 541 days out. Jesse Jacks, people with a tiny fraction of my polling. I'm the first one that they've ever denied it to. That's
and did they ever give you a reason?
No.
They put his life at risk because he had the audacity to challenge the Harris-Biden presidency. Just think about that. They even denied President Trump's multiple requests for increased security. And what happened as a result? A nearly successful assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life.
Take a look at what happened.
Days after President Trump survived this assassination attempt, still, FBI Director Christopher Wray did his best to try to undermine the surging support for Trump by intentionally sowing baseless seeds of doubt in voters' minds.
As I said, I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
The Harris-Biden administration has demonstrated time and time again that they will not hesitate to weaponize law enforcement and the justice system against political opponents, foremost among them, the person who poses the greatest threat to their power, Donald J. Trump. They're waging this lawfare on multiple fronts, coming up with trumped-up charges in the hopes that they could throw him in a jail cell before voters have a chance to head to the polls and vote for him. whether through the Quiet Skies secret domestic terror watch list, the Patriot Act being used to illegally surveil Americans, the IRS's targeting of conservatives, FBI SWAT teams kicking down the doors of peaceful pro-life protesters, FISA's illegal and warrantless surveillance of American citizens, and the FBI's targeting and watching quote-unquote radical traditionalist Catholics as potential threats, the list goes on and on. The bottom line is, everyday Americans are being watched and spied on by our own government. Why? Because those in power see us as a threat, and they'll do whatever they deem necessary, brazenly abusing their power to destroy us, silence us, or even throw us in jail. They want to scare us into submission, to self-censor, to think twice before we dare criticize the Democrat elite, the Harris-Biden administration, the national security military-industrial complex. I will not back down. We cannot back down. The American Center for Law and Justice is representing me as I take legal action to fight this unconstitutional retaliatory act against me and my family. We will fight to end this and all other secret terror watch lists that are being weaponized against thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of innocent Americans. No American deserves to live in fear of our own government. We must expose the truth about their abuse of power and hold them accountable. We're facing a critical election. Kamala Harris is the Democratic nominee, and she's proven she will continue to weaponize law enforcement and our national security state to go after political opponents. The propaganda media will continue to support her in her abuse of power. So those who truly believe in freedom, whether you're a Democrat, an independent, libertarian, or Republican, we must stand together now to defend our freedom and defeat Kamala Harris at the ballot box. Donald Trump has the strength, the backbone, and the willingness to take on the deep rot of corruption in our government, clean house, top to bottom, and hold those who are abusing their power accountable, wherever they may be.